Greetings, sisters. This is Sister Deb from don'tperish.com. Hey, yesterday, Brother Jim and I were traveling down the road, and I saw a billboard. You know, we see these billboards where somebody, they rent them, and they put up scripture verses and things like that. Well, I tried to get a picture of this one because I really like this passage, but I was a little too slow. But anyway, I'm going to read it to you, the first part of it. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Now the rest of that verse says, but they said, we will not walk therein. That's not the point, and I don't really want to be one of those saying it. What I wanted to talk about was, when I think about this verse, it makes me think about those who walked before us. And I've been doing a lot of thinking lately about our culture and what us godly women have to go through to hold fast to the faith. And then when I think about this verse and I think about our sisters of old who have walked before us, wow, I'll tell you something, sisters, they really had a lot to go through. You know, you read through the Bible and you see all the blood and violence and the trials and the hardships they had to endure through there. Those women had to be pretty strong in their faith. Not pretty strong, they were strong, because from what we see, they held fast to it and they were obedient to the Lord. So what I've done is I've gone through and grabbed a handful out of the Bible, and I've got scripture verses I want to read, and I thought maybe it would just be encouraging to us. So let's start with Anna in Luke 2:36-38. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel and the tribe of Aser. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. Wow. Talk about encouraging there. It says she departed not from the temple, but served God. So her life was totally devoted to God in the coming of Christ. Something to think about there. Let's look at Hannah. 1 Samuel 1:11-28. And she vowed a vow and said, oh, let me back up. Hannah wanted to bear a child, and she was barren. You can go read about it in 1 Samuel if you want. So I'm going to read 11-28. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah had spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaiden for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the early morning and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew Abimelech and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my lord, as thou thy soul liveth, my lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord, as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. So we see God had mercy on her, because she obediently followed through on her promise, having given her son to him. And we see that with Moses, willing to give his son. And we also see our Father sending his son. And if only we could all be as faithfully obedient as that. That's a mighty high calling. So let's look at Mary, Luke 1:26 through 33. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him unto the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Yeah, Mary had favor in the eyes of God. That really makes you think about what kind of a strong woman in the faith she was, an obedient and loving God. And although she was called blessed, it had to be a burden to go through what she did, especially in the end. So let's look at Esther. So Vashti was the queen of the king, and after she disobeyed the king, he declared that virgins are to be brought to him, and Esther was one of them, and then a new queen would be established. So Esther found favor with the king and became the new queen. And as we keep reading, we can see Haman set out to kill all the Jews. And here's what went on between Esther and Mordecai. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make request before him for her people. And Attash came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Attash and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's providences do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Those were Esther's words to Mordecai. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my handmaids will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. If I perish, I perish. So what she was basically saying is Mordecai was telling her to go to the king, and she said, nobody's allowed to do that, I might die. And Mordecai told her to go anyway, not to think of just herself. And she said, she will go. If I perish, I perish, she said. And she eventually found favor with the king, and Haman was destroyed. So through her faith, she was obedient, and she saved the Jews. Ruth. Let's look at Ruth 1:16 through 17 in the beginning here. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee," she's talking to Naomi, "or to return from the following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death be part thee and me." So Ruth was kind to Naomi, and she kind to her, and took responsibility to look after her. And while she was doing that, Boaz sees her faith in God and the kindness of Naomi and offers to protect her. So let's read Ruth 2:10-13. "Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath faithfully been shewed to me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how that thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto of thine handmaids." Later on, Boaz says this in Ruth 3:10-11. And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shewed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followedest not young men, which whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." So here's this woman, left everything she knew to come with her mother-in-law, and she was working hard in the fields, and everybody saw through her quiet life, her obedience, that she was a virtuous woman. Let's look at Sarah, 1 Peter 3. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward of adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in which that is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Right here. "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement." Now, let's look at that. These women had to go through a lot. Some of them had to go through a lot more with their husbands. I'm not going to go into the details, but I'm sure many of you know. Let's look at Rahab the harlot. She hid the spies, and in return they promised her safety when they came to destroy the city. Joshua 2:8-11. "And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you, and when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." So if you think about that, when that was all done, those two spies came and they set her and her household free. She knew all that destruction was coming, and she had to hold on to that faith that they would get her out of there, and God did deliver her that way. That's pretty awesome. Let's look at the woman with the issue of blood. This has great meaning to me, and what great faith she had to thinking that just touching Jesus' garment would make her whole. Luke 8:43-48. "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and thou sayest, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Someone hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. All right, and I'm going to just do this last one here. This is one of my favorites. The Canaanite woman. Matthew 15, 20 through 28. And I just want to say ahead of time, this woman had to be a very humble woman. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out from the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Wow, what a humble woman. And what great faith. Brother Jim, after I was talking to him about this and what I was going to say, he was making some comments. And I said, hold on, I want to write these down. I'm going to read this. This is a quote from him. And then I'm going to end it with Ephesians 6:10. So here we go. Here's a quote from Brother Jim. He's absolutely correct. American Christians are soft, weak, self-centered, vain, full of pride, fleshly and carnal, ineffectual, more worried about rights than God's truth, people-pleasers versus God-pleasers, fear of persecution and physical pain, not ready to surrender and ready to die for the cause of Christ. Feminism has weakened women from being strong women of God because it changes their focus from God to themselves. And I back that up 100%. You know, we look at this life that we're walking in, sisters, and I'm not belittling the trials that we have to go through, but our life is way different than what it was back then. They had to go through a lot of the same trials we do today and tenfold more. So let's use that as an encouragement. If they can walk that before us, let's use their testimony, their witness, their path before us to encourage us in our own path today, because we don't know. We may have to go through much of what they did coming up in the future for the end times. And I want to leave you with Ephesians 6:10, one of my absolute favorite verses. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I hope you've been as blessed by these scriptures as I have. Have a joyous evening, sisters, and until next time, may God be praised.